love it when I get up to preach and the Holy Spirit's all over the place. This is awesome. Lord Jesus, we welcome you here this morning. You truly are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our Savior, our Redeemer, the Creator of heaven and earth and all that's within it. And we give you praise and majesty and honor this morning. Jesus, thank you for your gift. Father, thank you that you loved us so much that you were prepared to find a way and that Jesus was willing. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you here this morning into this place. Be with each one of us this morning, today, this week. Walk with us. Lord, may we have ears to hear you. May we know your word and your will in our lives. And Lord, may we walk with you every day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was a little bit jealous of Marjorie last week because Marjorie got Mark 5, 1 to 20, which is a really cool bit of scripture. It's all of, remember what it was about? The demoniac and the setting free and the storm on the sea and all that sort of cool stuff. So I was kind of like, oh, this is really great. I'd love to have preached that one. And then I read this one. I went, actually, no, I got a better deal. This is really good. So if you've got your Bible with you, Mark 5, 21 to 43. So I'm just going to read quickly through it, and then we'll dig into this a little bit, because it's a really awesome story, and there's so much we can apply in our lives. Verse 21, Jesus got into the boat again. So remember, he was on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, probably the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee, and they're coming back, and they went back to the other side of the lake, where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then the leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. "My little daughter is dying," he said. "Please come and lay hands on her. Heal her so she can live." Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd who had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, she had suffered a great deal from many doctors over the years and had spent everything she had to pay them, but she'd gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. So she'd heard about Jesus. So she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe, for she thought to herself, "If I can just touch his robe, I will be healed." Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she'd been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out of him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciples said to him, "Look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me?" But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell on her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." While he was still speaking, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. They told him, "Your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now." But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just have faith." Then Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anyone except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, go with him. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw much commotion and weeping and wailing. He went inside and asked, "Why all this commotion and weeping? The child isn't dead, she's only asleep." The crowd laughed at him. But he made them all leave, and he took the girl's father and mother and the three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. Holding her hand, he said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell anyone what had happened. And then he told them to give her something to eat. Now, I would suggest in that very last verse where he says Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell anyone what had happened, I don't think that happened, because we have the story right here. So I figure it didn't happen. But you can understand that. So what's this chapter, well, this section of this scripture about? One word, faith. It's all about faith. What's so I asked myself the question, what is faith? Is it something we do? Is it something we are? Is it something we think, we feel, we say? What is faith? Faith at its core is a belief. A belief in something greater than yourself. And in this story, we actually see it expressed a couple of different ways. We actually have in this a story in a story. And they're both about faith. And Jesus actually brings that out a couple of times. The story, what's the bigger story that the little story is wrapped around? It's the story of Jairus' daughter. Actually, it's probably also the story of Jairus. Jairus came to Jesus, and if you look in verse 22, I think it is, from memory? 23, sorry. He says to Jesus, "My little daughter is dying." Statement of fact. He knew this. The people of the ancient world knew death. That will become really important later. They absolutely knew when someone was dead and when they were dying. What does Jairus say to Jesus, though? "Please come and lay hands on her. Heal her so she can live." Is that a statement that had relativism in it, or was it absolute? It was absolute. He just said, "Do this, she will live." He didn't question, he didn't prevaricate, "She might live." No. He was absolutely certain that if Jesus prayed for her or lay hands on her, she would live. So I think that's probably the first huge statement of faith that was in this story. He didn't waver, he believed it. What about the other story? Did anyone get the other story? The other story is correct. So the crowd follow Jesus. Pretty much wherever Jesus went, a crowd went with him. Okay? So the crowd are following Jesus. He heads to Jairus' place. So we suspect this may have happened at Capernaum. Not sure. Scripture actually doesn't say. But I'll give you a bit of a scene. He's come across the lake. And Lake Galilee's pretty big. You can't see the other side from it. Except right the northern bit. So he's gone across, healed the demoniac, dealt with all of that stuff on the eastern side, and he's now come back across the Sea of Galilee. Okay, there weren't piers and ports like we have them today. Most fishermen and vessels were just pulled up on the beach. Okay, so they've pulled up on the beach. As soon as Jesus arrived, what turns up? The crowd. I'm sure he liked boats and mountaintops because, you know, he got a bit of peace and quiet. I mean, on his way over to the other side, originally in the story further back in Mark, what was he doing in the boat? Sleeping. He was having a rest. I mean, can you imagine, Jesus? Everywhere you go, this crowd of people turn up. It did get tiring. Okay, so he turns up and the crowd arrives. Jairus turns up. So this probably wasn't in the middle of town. This is probably a little bit out of town. Jairus turns up and says, "Teacher, come and heal my daughter." And Jesus and the crowd start heading that way. Now, if this was typical from other scripture I've read, this would have possibly been hundreds, if not thousands of people. Okay, how close do you think people wanted to get to Jesus? Yeah. So there, Jesus is trying to walk along up the road to town. People are thronging all around him. And the lady with the, if you take an old version, the issue of blood, the bleeding, she reaches out and she manages to touch him. Now, that's actually quite an achievement in that crowd. I can imagine she probably had to do a bit of forceful, you know, she was determined to get that close to Jesus. Because if you think about it, Jesus is in the middle, you've probably got the disciples and other supporters around him. The general crowd, it would have been a bit challenging to get in there. So everyone's pushing around. And what did oh, yeah, they may have made a little bit of space for her. So she touches him. What does Jesus sense? He felt the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, flow through him. Has anyone ever prayed for someone and seen a healing and actually felt the Holy Spirit flow through you? I know I have. So Jesus senses this. And then Jesus says, okay, who touched me? The disciples then say what I think is a classic line, and to put it in modern parlance, they went and said to Jesus, who touched me? Seriously? Look, could be anyone. Did Jesus just give up at that point? No. He was like, no, somebody touched me, and I don't just mean they touched me, their faith. They had a need and they reached out in faith. And he knew, and he didn't give up. He probably stopped and went, right, until we find out who it is, I'm not moving. And I suspect this lady eventually went, I need to fess up. She knew it was her, because what did she say? What did she think? Where was it? Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she'd been healed of her terrible condition. So she knew she'd been healed. So she knew it was her. So she then went to Jesus. And Jesus had, in his amazing compassion, he always does, he reassures her. He reassures her of a couple of things. Daughter, I have made you well. I misread that. What does it say? Your faith has made you well. It was her belief. Did Jesus actively do anything to heal her? Nope, didn't do a thing. He just kind of walked. But the Holy Spirit was the one who healed her. Jesus was the conduit for the Holy Spirit to act. Go in peace, a blessing. And then what did he say to her? Be free from your suffering, or your suffering is over. Can you imagine that to her? 12 years. Everything she had, she spent with the medical profession of the day. Nothing worked. So what was her suffering? Emotional? Physical? Financial? All of them. She was really set free, wasn't she? I mean, this is going to change her life. So he reassures her of her future. It's an awesome, awesome thing, but it's a faith story in a faith story. So this little faith story is happening. And Jesus didn't heal her per se. He allowed the Holy Spirit to heal her. He didn't do anything. What's some of the other ways that Jesus actively healed people? Yeah, the one where he made mud from his spittle in the dirt. He laid hands on people. He did active things, didn't he? This one, he didn't do anything. He just was there trying to walk. Okay, that's all he was trying to do. So there's some interesting parallels with Jairus and this woman. A couple of parallels. Both of them were on their knees at one point. Did you note that? What does being on your knees mean? Humility, submission. Yep. So they both, at one point, the interesting thing was, when was the woman on her knees? Before or after she was healed? After. When was Jairus on his knees? Before. It's interesting, isn't it? But they were both on their knees. What did the crowd and the disciples' reaction when Jesus said, somebody touch me? What was their reaction? They were just it's like, oh, seriously. Were they seeing with human eyes or heavenly eyes? Yeah, they're seeing with human eyes. And interesting, we'll watch that, keep that one, because we see it a bit. Both the crowd and the disciples at one point saw with human eyes, not with heavenly eyes. Okay? Crowd disciples, just keep them in your mind. Did you know they both laughed at or questioned Jesus at various points? And it's actually really important what Jesus does with the crowd. After the woman is healed, what does he do with the crowd? He tells them to stay there. And who does he go forward with? Yeah, Peter, James, and John, which are the inner circle, the inner three. So he actually left the rest of the discipleship group probably with the crowd. Interesting. So why do you think he took Peter, James, and John? I'm going to give you a hint. Think of what Carolyn was saying right at the beginning. It was a teaching moment. I think they were about to learn something. Interesting. When they got into town and got to Jairus' house, what was waiting for them? Another crowd. Okay. Crowds don't get a good rap in most of the Gospels. They're generally fickle and... they don't do well, and I would suggest that's still true today. So, why do you think he left the first crowd? Step back a question. What did the woman have that no one else in the crowd had? She had faith for healing. So does that imply that the crowd didn't? Probably the crowd didn't. I would suggest that where Jesus was going and what he was trying to achieve, the crowd was not going to help this, what were they? And now we were going to have a crowd when we got there, and we had a crowd we were bringing. Now we've got a huge crowd of people who are there to do what? Some were mourning and crying, others were watching for a miracle or a spectacle. Do you get what I mean? Then they're not adding anything to Jesus' ministry right now. Do they really have ears to hear? Probably not. So when we get to the house, the crowd's there and they're all weeping and wailing, and what does Jesus say to them? She's not dead. Yep. Now, the interesting thing is, who does he say that to first? No. Correct. Verse 36, first thing he did was turn and say to Jairus, who'd had faith. How do you think he's feeling now? His daughter was very, very ill. Now she's dead. How's that going to affect his faith? Yeah. Do you think maybe he's... Exactly. Do you get what I mean? So what does Jesus do for him? Reassure him. Before he deals with the crowd, he turns to the man of faith who started this whole thing and says, don't be afraid. Just have faith. Just believe. Then Jesus stopped the crowd, kicked them out of the house, and took in who? Peter, James, John, and? Mum and Dad. So we now got five in the room. Oh, and the child, thank you. Oh, Jesus as well, okay. No, she was in there already. So we're in the room now, and he reassures everyone and the crowd, no, I've got this in hand. What's the crowd's response? They laughed at him. Okay? Crowds are like that. The crowd was cynical. So Jesus had to get rid of them too, because can I make a suggestion that cynicism and faith are not compatible? That's a good word. They're kind of opposites, aren't they? Cynical people generally aren't faithful people. Why were the disciples there? Did Jesus need to bring the disciples in to raise the girl from the dead? Nope. They were witnesses. I think they also had... we're talking about disciples, and disciples are learners. Remember what Carolyn said before? What do you think they're doing at this point? They're learning. Watching and learning. Active participants in the learning journey. The mother and father were there. I actually think that was a reward for them, particularly for Jairus, who had faith. Can you just imagine that? You go in, your daughter's dead, and then what does it say she did? She immediately got up and walked around. How encouraging would that be to Jairus, a reassurance of his faith? I think they needed to be there because it was just going to change their lives, really. So through this whole thing, I wanted to do kind of a little DBS-y aspect at the end of it. I'm going to ask ourselves three questions. What does this tell us about Jesus? What does it tell us about other people? And what does it tell us, how does it apply to us? First question. What does it tell us about Jesus? He had great compassion. Yep. Did he waver? Did he change his mind? That's right. Through the whole thing, there's no uncertainty. He knows where he's going. He knows what he's doing. Did he see the bigger picture? In all these things, he was seeing a bigger picture. He had heavenly thinking. What does it tell us about people? What does the crowd tell us about people? They're cynical. They're fickle. They're people. They're very... Sorry? No, it was more curiosity and spectacle, and it was more what was going to happen. It was like a show, I think, for a lot of them. It's kind of like, let's see what happens today. What's the lesson for us? What's the lesson from Jairus' father? What's the lesson from the woman? We can trust him. We can have faith in him that when he says he's going to do something, he's going to do something. If you know Jesus and his words, you know the Father and you know you can trust him. That's probably the key. The faith is ultimately about trust. Who do you trust in? Where are you putting your trust? And Jairus himself, right at the beginning, first thing he does, he puts his trust in Jesus, the woman. Put a trust in Jesus. The way they expressed it was different. Came out differently, but that's ultimately what they did. Who was the crowd trusting in anybody? No. Possibly themselves. Yeah, it was a spectacle. Whatever. What about the disciples? I think they were learning. Yeah, I think their trust, would this have been something that built their trust, built their faith? Yeah, absolutely. You come and you see this, you go, oh, that's cool. That's seriously cool. It built their faith. It built their trust. Because as you look down the road, what do they start to do in the future? They go out two by two and they see the same things happen. It's just really, Jesus is teaching and discipling and growing them. It's really cool. So let's just pray. I hope you got something from that. I really did when I was... reading it. It was just amazing the way God put a story in a story and it was all the same story. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you that as you walked on the earth, you taught, you led by example, you showed your disciples, the crowd, Jairus, the woman. Lord, all of them interacted with you and all of them learnt and believed and trusted in some way. Some very little, others amazingly affected. So Lord, may we have the same faith in you, the same trust, the same ability to know you, to trust you. May your Holy Spirit flow through us like it did through Jesus, flow into people's lives that we may pray with them, may see them healed, restored, renewed. Lord, that you and your kingdom will come. Lord, in heaven as it is on earth. Sorry, on earth as it is in heaven. Got backwards. So, Lord, I thank you that you do live within each one of us. Lord, your Holy Spirit is present. Go with us this week as we go, Lord, and help us touch people's lives like Jesus did, that we may be salt and light here on the earth right now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.